Welcome to the Radio Internet Story Exchange podcast, an excerpt from a full RISE public affairs program. I'm your host and producer, Kelly Romaris. Today's program is Global Warming as a Human Rights Violation. Our guest is Sheila Watt-Cloutier, chair of the Inuit Circumpolar Conference. According to the Arctic Climate Impact Assessment, released in November of 2004, the polar bear and several species of seals are threatened with extinction because the ice on which they hunt and breed will no longer exist if global warming persists. The melting also threatens the way of life of indigenous Arctic peoples, including the Inuit, who hunt seals, walruses, and land animals such as caribou, which also depend on Arctic weather cycles for their survival. Indigenous leaders are telling the industrialized world that global warming is harming the Earth and that, in particular, it is melting the Arctic, endangering native species of plants and animals, and threatening the viability of Inuit culture. The Inuit are already facing the disruption of their culture by contact with modern industrial lifestyles and health risks caused by pollution absorbed in the fat of the sea mammals they eat. They are now also observing and fighting the warming of their homelands. The Inuit assert that the change in Arctic climate has become so severe that human-induced global warming constitutes a violation of the Inuit's human right to preserve their own culture. Sheila Watt-Cloutier is chair of the Inuit Circumpolar Conference. On June 7, 2004, Watt-Cloutier spoke to RISE by phone.
The Inuit being 155,000 in the entire world, and we live in Canada, Greenland, Chukotka in Siberia, Russia, and Alaska, of course. We have lived for a millennia as Inuit in harmony with our environment, our wildlife, our resources, and we have done so very successfully and very sustainably. In that millennia, we have never depleted one species of an animal. We have always respected all of that around us, and we become one with nature. We have never tried to conquer nature, and in fact, as I said, we become one with nature. In the last 50, 60 years, we have come from a very nomadic, very connected to our way of life, to a world that is very fast-paced, to a place where I, you know, coming from dog team at a young age, now fly jumbo jets, as an example, to South Africa to help negotiate United Nations treaties on contaminants that end up in the Arctic sink. So these things have happened extremely fast. There's been a tumultuous change in our homelands, and we are grappling with these issues. We're in a very large learning curve as to what has happened in our world in terms of these rapid changes. We're now starting to realize that many answers lie in the wisdom of our culture and our connection to the land and our hunting and our country food. And as we do that, we've realized since the mid-80s, we are now being poisoned from afar. Many toxins end up in the Arctic sink, and as a result, in the blood cord and the nursing milk of our mothers. And we're now grappling with the issue of global warming, where the ice and snow is melting so rapidly that it's creating havoc once again on our way of life. What is happening up here in the last few years is that we are getting a new species of insects that we have not seen before. There are more beetles and many more mosquitoes and black flies. If there could be more, because if you ever came to the Arctic, there are so many already in the summertime, but now there's just so many. And that's creating a real challenge, not only to the people, but to our wildlife, such as the caribou. It is literally driving them crazy, and that creates enormous stress on our wildlife. We have new species of birds. We have the robin that has ended up in the Arctic. A robin is not an Arctic bird. We have salmon, where we have not seen salmon before. So the whole ecosystem is shifting very quickly, and many new species are happening. We've heard of barnyard owls being seen up here. Certainly anybody who knows what the Arctic is, we Inuit do not have barns.
When Watt-Cloutier attended the 4th Arctic Council ministerial meeting, She told a Reuters reporter that there are no indigenous words for the new species being seen in the Arctic, such as hornet, robin, elk, barn owl, or salmon. "We can't even describe what we're seeing," she said.
"This is not just something in the future. This is not a theory. Climate change is a reality, and it is happening today, and it's happening quicker in the Arctic, much faster than any scientists have ever predicted would happen."
I understand the Inuit hunting patterns themselves have been forced to change because of the melting ice.
Yes. The hunters have had to reroute themselves to hunting grounds and fishing grounds where they have gone from generation to generation, have been taught by elders what places are the safest and where are the best places to fish and hunt, are rerouting their paths now because, in one example, up here in this area, in Panito, around Cumberland Sound, is that where there used to be streams where you were able to cross to get to another side to go into another hunting area, has now become a torrent river as a result of the glaciers melting so quickly. And we've had a drowning there a couple of years ago as a result of that. We have had seasoned hunters fall through the ice who have always known the ice conditions, and their wisdom have traveled the same areas for ages, for decades, for generations, falling through now. Because what's happened is that what you see on the surface of the ice itself is not necessarily what lies underneath. Because the Arctic sink is also warming, the ice is melting from under. And so all of the wisdom that has been passed down generation to generation has now changed enormously, and the rules of the game have changed. So things become unpredictable, and that then connects back to our way of life and our cultural way of life of how do we pass on this very wonderful, rich, and wise indigenous knowledge onto the young people to teach them about not only conditions of our environment and how to live with it in harmony, but what the land teaches us is much more than hunting skills. What the land teaches us is character. It's to be able to survive what we need to know in the modern world as well. It's very transferable, you see, the wisdom that we learn in the hunting process. It's not just going out and killing the animal. It is about being bold under pressure, being able to withstand stress, to be creative, to be patient. All of those very things that our young people need to survive the modern day. And so there is a lot at stake here in terms of a way of life that is being threatened, because it's not just about contaminants on our plate. It's not just about the ice melting and the polar bears not being able to hunt. It's about a people behind all of this who have, as I say again, lived for millennia without ever having depleted one species of an animal. It's about a people who have lived in harmony with its environment and sustainably. We have a lot to teach, I believe, to the world who is grappling with these issues of how to live sustainably and how there is connection to everything, and that human activity has and can have and is having severe consequences to an entire way of life for an entire people that are very far from the source of this human activity. And so I think in those terms, it's important that the Inuit Arctic voice be heard and understood so that we can create that understanding of this connectivity, that we are all sourced as one, and that the planet is completely connected. Because the issue here is that a poisoned Inuk child, a poisoned Arctic, and a poisoned planet are of the same. And this environmental issue is one that the Inuit can give that perspective on this connectivity, because we are still on the land, and that we want to be able to tell the world that the earth is indeed melting very rapidly.
Have you lost hunters who have fallen through the ice?
We have lost hunters who have fallen through the ice. I have a neighbor here who fell through the ice but survived, but lost both his legs as a result of it. We have had more drownings on the western part in Alaska as well. Rather than this huge breakup of rivers or the bay, for example, and where you see blocks of the ice melting and moving away, it doesn't happen anymore. It just melts away.
Tell me a little bit more about the Arctic Climate Impact Assessment.
That has been underway since 2000, and it is about 250 scientists, along with many indigenous peoples' observations and experiences, have been incorporated into this process, into this assessment. What makes this document very different is that it's not just a scientific document that is going to be released. Attached to it will be, and we're still hoping it will be, because we've had some challenges, a policy document. A policy document that will put forth recommendations for these eight Arctic countries to create policies that will deal with greenhouse gas emissions and the climate change issue, an alarming situation.
The policy document that Watt Cloutier was concerned would not be released was in fact issued on November 24, 2004.
The predictions and projections that are written in this document are very stark, as I say. They do predict the extinction of the polar bear in the next few decades. They predict that the Northwest Passage in the Arctic will become ice-free. And we know, again, another challenge will come to our doorstep when that becomes ice-free. We know already today that there are countries in the world that are eyeing that as an international shipping route in order to save billions and billions of dollars. So what people will try to see as a benefit for their economy, we will once again see as a huge intrusion onto our homeland and into our waters, because again, an international shipping route would create havoc in the migration of our whales, our fish, and again would pollute our waters, and who knows what else would happen if oil spills happen up here and so on.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
It is so important for us in the world, everywhere, people of America and everywhere and beyond, to understand this issue of connectivity. I cannot stress that more. I think because it is a result of this disconnect that we have come to be in terms of how this disconnect of our human activity and the consequences that our human activity has onto other people, whether these people may be your next-door neighbor, they may be in the next country, and in fact, in the next hemisphere, as an example of what is happening to the Inuit of the Arctic in terms of our environment and in terms of our health and our cultural way of life that is now being so negatively, disproportionately impacted as a result of human activity coming from afar. This is the perfect example of the disconnect that is happening, and it is as a result of this disconnect that we are grappling with this issue of climate change to begin with. The world has a vested interest in keeping the Inuit on the land, because we will not only protect it for ourselves, we will protect it for all. And because we are still a people who survive and thrive on this very majestic Arctic land of ice and snow, we can tell you what is happening to the planet.
You've been listening to the Radio Internet Story Exchange podcast, Global Warming as a Human Rights Violation, featuring Sheila Watt-Cloutier, chair of the Inuit Circumpolar Conference. Ms. Watt-Cloutier was awarded the 2005 Sophie Prize, sometimes called the Environmental Nobel, for her work on Inuit rights. She plans to use the money that comes with the prize to help write a book on the Inuit to be called The Right to be Cold. The Inuit Circumpolar Conference has filed a petition with the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights of the Organization of American States against the United States. The petition asks the commission to rule that the U.S. must adopt mandatory limits on greenhouse gas emissions and help Inuit adapt to unavoidable impacts of climate change. The full 58-minute Rise program about the impact of global warming on Inuit culture, called Global Warming as a Human Rights Violation, can be obtained through the Rise website, www.riseforenews.net. That's www.rise4news.net. I'm your host and producer, Kelly Aramaris. My email address is kellia@riseforNews.net. That's kellia@rise4news.net. This is the Radio Internet Story Exchange podcast. Thanks for listening.